Now, wonjoo, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is a podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boorloo, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. Law Chen's familial documentary, starring Jerry as himself, follows retired Florida man Jerry C. Hsu as he's recruited by Chinese police to become an undercover agent. The documentary follows Jerry as he retells his story about how he was recruited, what actions he needed to take to help inform the agents, and most importantly, the lengths he goes to hide his recruitment from his family. Starring Jerry as himself features Jerry and his family reenacting his story, which is frequently tense, but also thanks to the optimism and positive outlook of the world that Jerry has, the film is also rather endearing. In the following interview with Jerry and his son and the film's producer, Jonathan, we delve into the spoilers of the film. And as Jonathan mentions at the start, the two would hope their audiences go into the film knowing as little as possible. However, as I personally feel, this is the kind of film that even if you do know what happens to Jerry and the outcome of his life, that doesn't actually diminish the quality of the film. It is still a very powerful and moving and also enriching film too. Starring Jerry as himself was the grand prize winner at the 2023 Slam Dance Film Festival, where it also received the award for Best Actor for Jerry, and it also received the Audience Award. In the following interview, Jerry talks about his life on screen, what it was like reenacting these moments of his life, while Jonathan also talks about what it's like to have someone like Jerry as a father. This interview was recorded ahead of the film's launch in Australia at the Castlemaine Documentary Film Festival in June 2024. Please keep an eye out for a future release in Australia. This is a film that you definitely want to seek out. I also want to thank you as well for listening to this episode of The Curb Podcast. To help keep The Curb independent, we are completely ad-free. Please visit patreon.com/thecurbau to show your support from as little as $1 a month. For now, here is a clip from the trailer for starring Jerry as himself.
Oh, John!
My name is Jerry. I came to America in the 70s. I work as an engineer for 40 years. I support my family by working hard and save money. But 1 year after I retired, I received a phone call.
Has he been acting weird lately?
Dad, who are you calling?
That's none of your business.
I have an interesting offer for you.
What kind of offer?
你也可以选择不跟我们合作，我们要冻结你的账户，将你引渡回国。我一定配合。Okay, okay.
It's like spoiler alert. We are going to talk about the film and all the plot and details. So if you don't want to know and you just want to go watch the film, go watch the film.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Jerry. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. Good evening. I think you're on the same time zone as me. You're
in Texas now?
Yeah. Well, I'm in Perth, Western Australia. So
okay,
it's about 9 o'clock my time. So thank you. So thank you again for taking the time to have a chat with me and talk to me about your film and your story. I really appreciate it. It's quite a powerful film, but it's also you're quite a good actor as well. So congratulations!
My first time I play this movie because it's Jonathan's movie. That's why I try to help him and. You said I have a darkness and a lightness part.
Yeah.
I don't realize that. What part is a lightness?
Well, the lightness all comes from you.
Yeah.
Right? There is so much positivity in, like, you're going through such a terrible thing. But
yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, really, really terrible. But your openness and your eagerness to do the right thing is where that lightness comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I found that really quite powerful. It's, you know, your personality and your view on life of just doing the right thing and being a good person. As terrible as it is, it feels like a rarity nowadays. So yeah, that's what I mean when I talk about the lightness and the darkness. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Because
do you not see that yourself?
Huh?
Do you not see that yourself?
Lightness? I don't realize that the lightness part. I asked Jonathan, he said, you tell Jesse to lose weight and play basketball. I said, he thinks that's a lightness.
No.
So you mean just in general?
Just in general. Yeah. Because I think when it comes to telling a story like this, it has got to be very easy to sit in the darkness and to just let the sad aspect of the story play out. But because you are so open to these people who are doing a terrible thing to you, and I guess it just makes me appreciate seeing the world in a different way, which was unexpected. But I'm glad that you got out on the other side, as terrible as everything that you've gone through has been. Hello, Jonathan. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, Andrew.
Hey, John.
Hi, Dad. I'm back. Sorry. Had to drop off the kid for like a Father's Day thing. So school.
Yeah.
So it's all about dads today.
Oh, nice. Well, that's good. Well, yeah. Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. Your dad and I were just talking about weather and then talking about one of the questions which I posed, which is about the lightness and the darkness. And your dad was asking me about where I saw the lightness, and it all comes from him, right? It is a very dark story, but it comes from him. The lightness comes from him. And maybe you can talk to that as well, about having a wonderful gentleman like Jerry as your father. What's that like?
He's always, humor has always played a huge part in our family. I think with my mother and with him, it's constant jabs and just in playful ways and jokes and puns. And so I think that's where, you know, the documentary aspect is. Our family's just what it is on film. Like, yes, there were parts that were scripted from Jerry's memory of what the people told him over the phone and over text, but everything else is our family actually just improving / just interacting. Like many times it was Law would say, oh, let's just do a scene. Like, what do you guys do for fun? Oh, we play basketball. All right, let's go to the basketball. And this is the one thing I want from you, but otherwise go nuts. Just be yourselves. And that's what made it. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Like, I mean, it is. Yeah. We'll start talking about the story itself. And Jerry, this is where you can talk about it, I guess, which is that is quite a personal story. And I'm really curious where that decision process of getting your family on board to tell your story came about from.
I realized I was scammed. I told Jonathan, I said, I'm scammed and lost almost everything I have. So he said, what's happening? He said, I want to report to FBI. And he want me to write down what's really happened, the details. So I write down, you know, instead of saying, they said is, I responded, he said, I just write down like a script, you know. So that's why I sent to them. And so Jonathan and his friend Lawrence said, hey, this is a good movie. We should have played a movie. You know, Jonathan and Lawrence is like crazy about shoot movies. I remember one time I asked them, if you drive in California, they have an earthquake, what happening? Oh, we stop a car and we start shooting. Make a record of the big earthquake. Anyway, so they said they want to come down to Florida. Ask me more details. And they said, when I go back to New York, they come back to me. They call me, said, "Daddy, we cannot find an actor." So, John, you got more detail on the part, right?
It was very much like, you know, there's only a handful of actors who are Asian, can speak Chinese, and are over the age of 60 or around 60, right? So you can count those people on one hand. And so, and also with the time frame that we had with Jerry, we needed to start shooting something immediately. So instead of doing a casting process or anything like that, we said, "Jerry, what if you just played yourself? You know, just show us exactly what happened to you and how it felt when they were speaking to you on the phone." And so he was like, "Sure, but only if it's a spy film," because that's how I felt. I felt like James Bond being sent on missions. I felt like Jason Bourne. And so we made sure to film it in a very cinematic way with anamorphic lenses, even though it was a documentary.
Yeah, the things that I'm concerning is that you want me to play this role. I said, my English is not good. It's not my mother language. So I'm hesitating to play the role. And
but we said you could do Chinese too. So
yeah.
We said whatever is more natural and actually happened.
That's why I start. And also, this is John's film. John's major is a film, is a producer, and I like to help him too. You know, John Larson have a movie to play, to shooting now, and I'm the one in here, the actor. So I like to help him to do this too, and also myself is like you know, I said this bad thing happened to me. I want old people know this, and so I start. You know, like you said, I have tell the story of my personal bad experience, and I still want to show it to people. Third thing, I like to do this because I'm in fun to write script and also direct happening. Yeah, you know, in church every Christmas I write a script about mm-hmm. a show, and I have people to do this. So I enjoy to do that. So now it's time they want me to play this role. I say, okay, because I like to do this too, myself, as a hobby. So I start to doing this.
I will say I did like seeing the archival footage of you performing as well. It's taken so long. Like, I wish that we had gotten to see you do more performing throughout your career as an actor, Jerry. You're really good. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah. I'm curious, and you know, you do tell the story through those reenactments with that script. Can you talk about how that writing down process, I guess, of getting it out of what happened to you? How did you go about writing that down on page? Jonathan, okay. You mentioned it was like a script, but Jerry, if you can talk about that process to begin with.
Okay, I feel bad and sad for Tale of Truth only like more than 3 days. I was sitting by a pond. I'm thinking, why I'm so stupid? I fall in a trap and I lost everything I had to prepare for my retirement. I was sad and struggle for a while, like 3 days, and I said, "What, Jerry? What this sadness and the heinous to do with the fact? It cannot be changed. It's already happened." And actually, I said, I told myself, the most important thing is I need to find a job. I need to start making more money to save it for my retirement life. So, I put it away and I start finding a food delivery job and working on that and. And that's why I'm saying, don't be, stay on this point. Feel sad, feel bad, doesn't help anything. And I totally changed. I say, what happened. You know, you don't need to, you know, feel sad on that part. And I say, I give up that. And I say, I totally think this is some other people's happenings. To some other people, I don't think it's myself. No, so that's why when they asked me to write more down details, I start writing like I writing a third person's story. I don't think that's myself. So, and I, it's happened on like 2 months, 3 months before. So I still remember every details. I write down as a script for the movie, because I write script before, you know, for the church, you know, so I know how to write down. And so I write down, I put down the side, you know, the sound, how people talk, you know, I put on the side of the script. So I described, you know, what happened in that time. So that's how I write down. You know, I don't feel bad when I write those scenes. I don't feel bad. So.
And Jonathan, for you, what was it like reading the script for the first time?
It was heartbreaking, because you read it and you can see from an outside perspective how he was manipulated, how they played on, you know, scammers like to play on your emotions, whether it's always something of urgency, right? So they need some kind of information or money sent to them right away. And, you know, the details don't matter, whatever, we're gonna, like, whether it's a romance scam or a tech scam or a tax scam or whatever it is. And so when you know going into the movie that it's a scam movie, right, you'll be, your awareness will be a little bit heightened. So I don't know how the podcast is gonna go.
That's kind okay.
Yeah, kind of a spoiler, you know, in our marketing and how we pitch the video, we don't bring up that it's a movie about a man who was scammed of his savings. We just say, we give it the angle of the spy story, and then we let people be in his shoes until they watch the film. And then if they come to understand that, you know, people at different points throughout the movie will figure out what's going on. Some people don't figure it out until the moment that Jerry finds out in the film. Some people are like, oh, you know, oh yeah, it is. That's right. So we've had a lot of feedback after different screenings at film festival in that regard. But back to your question. Yeah. When I read what happened and all the interactions and how frequent the interactions were, I was sad, but I could totally see how it did work. And it just depends on, you know, the mood. It's just like a timing thing. It depends on like what mood you're in when you receive that call or that point of contact on email. You know, like, this was a film that was shot during the pandemic in 2021. And so I don't think we, as in our family, were communicating as much as we are now to each other. We weren't on a group text before. Now we are. But prior to that, I think everyone was dealing with the pandemic in their own way and trying to find some form of connection. And I think for seniors, that's a big thing. Like, they want some kind of connection to someone who cares about, are they eating, taking their medication? Are they, did they go on a, you know, exercise and go take their morning stroll? All these little details that we might take for granted as children of our parents, these scammers played on that.
And then, of course, you bring in actors to play the scammers as well. I'm curious about that process, the decision process behind having actors there. And for you, Jerry, what that was like to be able to act against somebody who was only just a voice on a phone for you.
Okay. Like I said before, I totally come out this bad thing happened to me. And I looked at a third person story. And when I play the movie and I talk to real actors, and I'm real calm. I don't I don't feel bad or hate of this person. I know it's just, you know, no matter how I react to people, hate or whatever, doesn't change a thing now. It's happened, it's happened. You know, to me, it's a fact now, so I don't need to waste my emotion on that anymore. So that's how I treat myself and to this movie. And that's, you asked me how I'm doing the conversation with the other actor. I just play the role. I just go back what that time I'm thinking, what that time, because I always thinking they are real policemen. And I do this to try to help them to find the money laundering and those are the people, bad people. I try to help them to catch people. That's a way to prove I'm a clean. I won't be a suspect anymore. So that's why I help them. So I still use the same mood when I play movies. I try to help them. I try to help the fake policemen. So, mm-hmm. So that's what I feel at the time.
Jonathan, can you talk about the process of getting people in to play these particular characters, these roles?
Right. Yeah, we wanted to find someone that filled the roles of the people that Jerry interacted with on the phone. And that process was looking through our friends' networks, our peers who are also in film production. And we were very, very fortunate to find Haosong Yang. He happened to be in New York at the time, studying, like working at an acting conservatory. He currently is in Beijing teaching classes and master classes on acting. And he was just in town that year for his program. And the timing worked out with his schedule. So we had kind of like an acting instructor play the part of Officer Zane, the one who really befriends my father in the film. And then Fang Du, the Inspector O part, his name is Fang Du, and he's been around. Like, he's played like the inspector role on Law and Order and all sorts of like police procedural shows. And he also helps as a Chinese dialect coach for other actors. And so he knew exactly like which region of China like he should like imitate his voice to be. And so we were very, you know, he worked out his schedule. So he was like flying from LA to New York to shoot three scenes and then flying back to back to work. And then he'd come back out again for another scene or two. So that was very great. Matt Bailey, the banker, is played by Nick Bailey. Matt Johnson is played by Nick Bailey. Funny thing, Matt Johnson is the actual name of the banker who assisted my father at the bank with all these wire transfers. We never found him because he kind of just disappeared from the bank after we told him what happened. He was transferred, I guess. But yeah, Nick Bailey is an actor who we worked with before on short films. And when we wanted to find the person to play that role, I thought of him immediately because he was both intimidating, but also very sweet. Like physically, he's very big. He's 6'2". He's strong and he can be an intimidating kind of person. And at the same time, he's also just the sweetest guy out, you know, in a non-acting role. So we had him play the parts both ways. One way he was in on the scam. The other way he was just a normal banker. And in the edit, Law cut together those two different ways that they were acted. So you never really knew, is he, you know, in on the scam or is he not? And yeah, that's how we got those performances out of him. But yeah, we're very fortunate to find those people. And every time they met Jerry, they were very much like, oh my gosh, he's a natural. They're like, I'm honored to work with Jerry.
And I guess for you and, you know, your family, what's it like to act opposite your father then?
You know, it was very difficult. I'm not in it as much because I was very much behind the scenes producing and making it happen. But I think, yeah, some people are like, oh, it's a glorified home video is what, it's not a movie, it's a glorified home video. And I think that's what my family felt like, because I did shoot a lot of home videos growing up. I was always like the family historian, like with the VHS or the Digi-8 camera. That's where all the archival footage is from. I just have tapes and tapes and tapes of family outings and stuff like that. And I digitize them and I keep them safe on a drive. So it was no different for them than us going on a family vacation. There's John with his camera. Yes, it's a little bit bigger. Yes, there's a microphone that we're wearing, but it's not any different from anything like that. So we downplayed it as to be as nice as possible, or as intimate as possible, because this is a very intimate subject. Like, Chinese families don't air out their dirty laundry to the public, and never do we talk about money. That's like a very taboo sort of thing to talk about. And so for us to be as natural as possible, very small crew, and I was always there next to the camera to make sure we were accurate to being to what happened in the story, but also as a family, just to keep the energy positive throughout the reenactment. Yeah.
But as you were talking about, now you've got like a group text where you all talk with one another. It feels like a very, you know, as traumatic and as painful as the experience is, there does feel like a healing quality to having everybody come together in some ways. Can you talk about like the family being brought together under a difficult time? What was that like? And how did that process of making the film, did it change you as a family? Did it strengthen you as a family?
I think we all just have such deep love and respect for each other on how we all dealt with it in our own individual ways. There's many realities that you have to face when something like this happens. Like, you start thinking about insurance and healthcare and who's going to live where, who's going to watch dad, how is, like, do we become like, should we be the two-factor authentication on his bank account? Should someone else be a co-signer on each other's bank accounts? Like, how do we prevent this from ever happening again? I think we're all just very careful with Jerry. We on the group text, we're always talking about like how each other's health is, our progress in our in the film, as well as because it's been a 3-year journey already just with this film, and we have so many behind the scenes video and photos that we want to share that we're like, we have enough for like an appendix or some kind of like bonus video feature to throw on YouTube for anyone who watches the film. They could just watch how the rest of the film turned out, or you know, Jerry's journey turned out, going to Korea and Greece and all that stuff for the film festival. I think that changed our lives too. Like, I don't think Jerry ever planned to go to Korea or Greece, and we were invited by film festivals out there. And so, yeah. Dad, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
If not happen, this is bad thing not happen to me, I won't have a chance to go go Greek, go to Korea. And actually it happened to me, I visited a lot more different places with Jonathan, and I feel happy. I said, well, the bad thing is not really bad, you know. That's a good part of it. So otherwise, I would just like sit in the apartment, boring, nothing to do, you know. And now my life's more active and more excitement happened to me.
You've become a bit of a celebrity in a way, Jerry. An unexpected celebrity, I guess, is the best way of putting it, thanks to the film festivals. What's that experience like? I mean, you're now, the film's going to be screening in Australia this weekend, which is exciting. But what's that experience like for you to know that your story is going to all these different places in the world?
I hope the film will help a lot of old people. You know, the scam comes, you know, they are so good on the psychology, those scammers. And they hit you at the times emergency, and you don't not prepared. So I hope old people have a chance to talk. They most the first thing the old people they don't have many people to talk with. The children are the, you know, I told them first of all, I say you need to talk to your parents more often, not just say, hey, Dad, Mom, how are you doing? Okay, fine, okay, everything good, good. That's not detail. You need to ask them what happened to you lately, what new things, you know. You need to ask more detail to tell them this is a trap, this is a scammer, okay? Otherwise, the old people just kind of lost their psychology scams because, as I remember, they are so nice to me. They pretend as good policemen. You have blood pressure. Okay, I'll tell my people to ask you every day, did you take pills? Did you take a walk? They try to be nice to you. You feel, oh, these are good people. They are so good. So you are willing more, trust them more. So that's how the old people need more attention from children. Otherwise, it'll be scammed easily.
Jonathan, do you have anything to add to about what you want audiences to take away from the film?
I think Jerry kind of nailed it on the head. It's just, I think it's important for people with aging parents or uncles or aunts or just people in their lives to check in on them. Maybe, I mean, first they could come and watch this movie and experience it and then tell them about, oh, I saw this movie that you have to go see. So there's that. But the other thing is just, I think, yeah, people should know that there was a huge leap in technology and many elders have been left in the byway of just not keeping up with it because it didn't pertain to their daily lives. And now they're being these phones and emails and all these things, pieces of technologies and apps are being forced on them because that's just how things are. Like things are, people can't go in the subway now without scanning their phones. What do they do if they don't have a phone, you know, with the NFC sort of like unlocked. So they're just kind of left in the technological sort of I guess whirlwind that has happened in the past couple of years. And so I think it's important to check in on them, like ask them those questions. Yes, I know it's like a cliche that the children become the IT for their parents and, oh, I have to deal with these annoying sort of questions on how to, you know, set up their email accounts and stuff like that. But, you know, that could save them from a tragedy. Like if you just take a little bit of time to educate and just talk through the idea of that these things are happening worldwide, then it might just leave a little bit more warning to them when it comes to that.
One thing is important that you, when people say this is a secret, don't tell anybody. That's a scam. Very, very 90% scam. Why do you want to keep a secret? They don't want people to talk around. So, hey, I told you things, this is secret. In these movies, we are police which are set up the tracing everybody. Don't tell anybody, okay? This is top secret. When people tell you that, that's, you know, later on, I have another guy call me. I'm working the bank in Nigeria, and I have a big, account nobody claimed, but there's a name in the Chinese. So I think that you can work with me. We can share the money, but don't tell anybody. This is secret. I'm the manager here, but I don't want anybody else to know this. When they say that's a bad thing. That's scary, you know. So if people say don't tell anybody, you go tell anybody you know, so people can tell you, okay, this is scary.
Yeah, and they don't even ask you right away. This is called the pig slaughtering scam, you know, like the poor pig butchering, where they become friends first, and then eventually they ask you for some kind of money or some kind of information to verify who you are, whether it's pictures of yourself or pictures of your license or some kind of digital login. It's they're smarter in the ways of, like, they don't directly ask sometimes. They'll start with a mistext like, oh, are you Andrew? And it's like, yes, I am. And then they just start a conversation randomly. They probably fished for some of your information before. But I mean, like, this is all sort of like a PSA. There's so much information out there, but no one really thinks about it. And I think it takes a film for people to be moved to the point. I think it takes art and some kind of, like, I think watching a PSA will not have the same effect as watching a film where you know that, or a documentary for that fact of that this happened to a family. And the idea that it couldn't happen to yours is, it's probable, but not impossible is what I like to say. It's probable that you won't fall for a scam, but it's not impossible that you won't fall for a scam either.
I mean, I get all these kinds of text messages that, you know, they look real. And just like you received, Jerry, about your phone, it's like, it looks real. It feels real. It feels like something that, should I respond to it? It's hard to have that kind of literacy and understanding of what we should do. And as you're saying, Jonathan, a film really does help. As the last question, I kind of want to leave on a really positive note, which is talking again about that lightness that we started talking about, Jerry, at the beginning, which comes from you. And you have such this beautiful philosophy on life, which is about, being poor and being alive, which is what you'd rather. Can you talk about that philosophy a little bit? And Jonathan, I'd love to find out what it's like to grow up in the orbit of somebody like Jerry who has that kind of philosophy. Can you talk about that by any chance?
Me?
Yeah, Jerry, your philosophy on life. I loved it, hearing about it.
Okay. The philosophy is, I realize people like the money, the wealth they have, but I realize this can leave you. All my money is gone. Okay. I figure out there's two ways. One way is people leave their wealth when you die, right? The other way is wealth leave you. When you're scammed, then you lost all the money. So eventually, this is not everything you need to keep. You sooner or later, you'll say goodbye to the wealth. So that's why I look lightly on the money-wise, the material things. And I think I'm not in Taiwan. I have a limited income, but I can still live comfortably because I was thinking, man, I was scammed. But if I have all this money I can use it because I don't need that much money. The money is sitting there in the bank. Maybe you feel you are secure, but actually you don't need money. So that's why I developed my new philosophy and also keep alive. Your life and your health is most important. I told Jonathan just a few days ago, the Chinese saying, if you have mountain, you have a forest there, then you don't worry about it. You don't have fireworks.
Firewood.
Yeah, firewood. Firewood. So that things means you don't give up. If you keep your life, you keep your health, your body's alive, you can make things change eventually. You don't just, my life meaningless. Go get a suicide. That's really end. But no matter what, if you keep your body there, like you keep a mountain. If you have a mountain there, you have forest, and then you have woods, firewoods. So that's what I'm, my new philosophy is. No matter what, keep good health, keep alive. You keep doing things and make things change, and then you eventually will turn around, So. Don't give up yourself. So,
yeah, growing up with him, it was very much I don't know if it's the immigrant sort of mentality. I think a lot of people have told me Jerry reminds them of their father or something, but the idea of we're going to move to a new country and survive somehow so that our children can benefit from our sacrifices, our invisible sacrifices. That is the dream. That is the American dream. And like, it's not for us. It's for our children. And so, I mean, when I found out that he did plays as in church and acted and directed them and wrote them, I was like, what? That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because you gave me the opportunity. Like, you had this passion. And obviously, like, every night, like, Fridays were our favorites because we would rent like 3 or 4 movies from Blockbuster, and we just binge watch like movies, and we talk about movies and stuff like that. But I didn't know it was because it wasn't just some, you know, pastime thing. It was a thing that my father loved and enjoyed. And I think that sort of amateur sort of, interest in films, he passed on to me. And he would always give me the home video camera, you know, this expensive tool to just go shoot my little sketches and videos, because he was trying to provide for his family. He came here, worked a 9-to-5 government job. I barely saw him, you know, during the work week. And on the weekends, he was always exhausted, didn't want to go do anything, because he was tired. He was working for his family. And so in the moments that we did have that around, it was a joy. And it was a, you know, something you look back on after you grow up and you appreciate all these sacrifices. So I think that's a bit of the philosophy too, which is keep your head down, don't stir the pot, and just survive for the sake of, like, Jerry's lifestyle didn't change that much since he's had to move to Taiwan, but all the money that he was saving, I asked him, like, what were you saving it for? And he's like, he's saving it for you guys. He's like, but why don't you use it? And he's like, well, that's not, you know, you guys have things, you know, I should still be providing as a father. And I think that's who he is. And I'm so honored to be able to share that with everyone else in this film.
I was going to say thank you for sharing your story and for sharing Jerry. It's been quite quite the experience to be able to get to know you all through this film and to spend time talking with you about it. I really appreciate it. I know it's a hard story to tell, but I really do appreciate the way that you've told it. It makes it, you know, it's all the more memorable, and it just hits in quite a powerful way. So thank you again. It's beautiful to see, but painful to see. But getting to experience and spend time with you, both yourself and Jerry, has been wonderful. I really appreciate it. I guess one last question. You're talking about you wanted this to be a spy film, Jerry, as well. Do you have a favorite spy film?
007.
the whole series? You like the whole series?
I like the Thunderball.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's a good one.
That's old time, you know.
Thunderball.
Yeah. What about you, Jonathan? Do you have a favorite spy film at all?
Oh gosh, it's not really a spy film. It's kind of a heist film almost. But Gattaca is a favorite. Yeah. Just it's played so cool. But if we were like spy genre, I would definitely say. I could always watch Casino Royale over and over again. That one was so great.
Yeah, good choices. Yeah. Well, I'd watch your film over and over again. So there we go.
Oh, my God. I watched the film 30 times at these film festivals just so I can get a read of all the audience's reactions to it. Yeah. And so I'm better prepared for the Q&As. I've sat through the film so many times in the edit and now like at least 30 times in film festivals. I still get teary-eyed. Still, like, it's just like I just feel it in the atmosphere and it can't help but be affected by it.
It's hard to watch at times, but it's hard also to not be moved by it, you know? You'd be a very hard person if you sat there and not shed a tear or be moved by your story. But yeah, once again, thank you so much. Jerry, it's late for you. Thank you so much for being up late to record this. I really appreciate it. Again, I'll be getting this up live right before the festival this weekend, so I'll send it over to the people and they can share it with you as well if you feel like sharing it. But yeah, thank you again, Jonathan, as well. Well, have a lovely day, and Jerry, have a lovely evening. And again, yeah, thank you so much for your time. I've really appreciated it.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
No worries. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Hey, thanks again for listening to this episode of the Curb podcast. Once again, please seek out starring Jerry as himself when you can. It is a great film. To listen to other interviews and read reviews, head over to thecurb.com.au. Thanks all. We'll see you in the next episode.